love, linked together with the concept of worship. And then again, you may have. So let's just pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. And we bless you. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you into your presence in safety and celebrate. Help us, Lord, I pray, as we look at your word this morning, to really understand something fresh about this Christmas time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love, just to start, not in our slides, but just to start as John throws the crockery around the room. If you're listening online or you're part of the school, that was John Rumble who broke the cup. I love the Christmas story. I really do. I love it. I love thinking about it. I love chewing on the various characters. I love the little white bits in the Bible between the words, because that's where the life happens. That stuff going on in between those words. Lives are being lived. You know, it's an amazing story, isn't it? And so often in that story, we focus in, and rightly so, on a young girl, Mary, and what happened to Mary. We'll focus in on a quite amazing young man called Joseph and how he navigates an impossible situation. Yep. We come across shepherds, don't we, in their field being sung at by angels and scared witless in the middle of the night. We come across magi who travel from the east. We don't know how many there were, but we know that they brought three particular gifts of gold and myrrh and frankincense. We see the bad King Herod, and everyone goes boo, because he's the villain of the part, isn't he, in all of this. It's a tremendous story. There's so many things going on. Don't forget the donkey. Every good story needs a donkey. Any of the children in the school will tell you that. But there's another aspect to this. Sometimes we talk a little bit about the baby in the manger, and rightly so. The astounding truth that Almighty God, the creator of everything, should take on the helpless form of a newborn and be born in an incredibly non-sanitized situation. Yeah? Not a midwife in sight. Do you know, lying in an animal feed box and all the rest of it. It's incredible, in a cave of all places. And we look at that and we're astounded by that. But there's something about Jesus that I want to bring into our worship concept this morning. And we find it in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6. It says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." See, he comes as a baby to us, but he's still the Son of God. "And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And that's what we're going to look at this morning. These titles that's given to Jesus, because that's who this is talking about, really play a big part in our worship. He's called the Wonderful Counselor. And wonderful here refers to the acts of God. They are incomprehensible. They're marvelous, miraculous, what God has done here. This is an incredible thing. And we live in a world where we're more concerned about some secular song becoming the number one song in the charts. Everyone's talking about the fairy tale of New York, the Pogue song, because of Shane McGowan's death. But I want to talk to you about what really is top of the charts, and that's this wonderful counselor. This should be where our worship lies. Counselor carries with it the idea of one who determines upon a plan of action and carries it out. And Isaiah is saying to us here, pardon me, that Judah's only hope was this wonderful counselor. The nation is in big trouble, and it needs this wonderful counselor. The United Kingdom is in big trouble, and it needs a wonderful counselor. It doesn't need a change of government, although some people might think that's a good idea too. But it needs a wonderful counselor who's going to come with a God plan and carry it out. Not only that, it talks about how marvelous he will be. And that should ignite worship within us. Think about it. The whole of Judah, the whole of Israel, was gasping in desperation for a redeemer, for a savior, for a Messiah. And Isaiah prophesied thousands of years before, he's coming, and he'll be wonderful. And the counsel he brings will be life-changing. Look for him. The second thing it says about him is that he is, our next slide please, he is a mighty God. Not only is he a wonderful counselor, he's a mighty God. Hebrews 4:15, if we could bring that up, says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Coral was just speaking about that as we broke bread. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Wow! Isn't that good? Been tempted in every way, just like you and me, and yet never sinned. That's how wonderful this counselor is. He is God Almighty. And in that, there is an expectation of power. And in our worship, as we sing, as we sung this morning, our God is the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, coming in power, and so on in our worship songs. These need to be more than words. This needs to be an expectation of power in my life, in my situation, and in your situation too, and in our families, and in our neighborhoods, and in our county, and in our nation, and in this world. We need, as we worship, to have an expectation that our God is a mighty God. He's a wonderful counselor, and he's a mighty God. And the word mighty was commonly associated with warfare. And it has to do with the strength and vitality of a successful warrior. If you know your Old Testament, you know that David had mighty men in his army who did amazing military feats. Incredible warriors they were. Well, I want to introduce you to the mightiest of them all. And our worship should focus in on that angle too. Calling this child God is a prophecy regarding the divinity of Jesus. He will be all-powerful. That's amazing, isn't it? We can expect Jesus to be our mighty warrior. But people who've got limited exposure to Jesus, well, they just view him as someone very meek and mild. It's all away in a manger, no crib for a bed. And that's a wonderful song when we come at it from the right angle. But when we come at it from a mistaken angle, we think just some meek and mild little baby. No. This is Almighty God. This is why shepherds and angels and wise men bowed before him. We too must see this. You see, we see Jesus as someone kind and gentle, and that's true. We see him as someone who turned the other cheek, and that's true, but there's a bigger picture that we need to see here. One of a mighty warrior, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God. In 2 Corinthians 10:13, it says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Now, let me show you what the Message translation says. It paints a picture here that's really lovely. It says, the world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation. They're for demolishing that entirely massive corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every destruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Hello, isn't that great? That is wonderful. And I love that expression, powerful God tools. You see, we need a bigger picture. That's what I'm saying here. Quite a long time ago, you may remember this because it made the national news. There was a story from Alaska about three grey whales that had been circling around a hole in the ice. Now, the ice cap was 5 miles wide, and they were stuck under this ice cap, and there was a hole, and the whales were circling around it, obviously breathing, taking turns to breathe, and they were bruised and bloodied and battered and in a really bad way. You might not remember this story. Well, what happened then was some rescuers started to cut a string of breathing holes into this ice pack, some 6 inches thick. And they did this 20 yards apart for 5 miles. That's a lot of holes, isn't it? That's a lot of holes. And then they somehow managed to coax these whales to move under the ice cap, coming up from these different holes to breathe. One of the whales disappeared and sadly died. But two of the whales came out the other end and swam to safety and the rest of their lives. You're all meant to clap at that point. That is absolutely a factual story. Isn't that amazing? And that talks a lot about how worship works in our life. You see, when we worship God, we are breathing in the very essence of him. And it invigorates our life. Because much of our life is like it's frozen. It's like Narnia. It's like we're totally frozen and it's hard and it's difficult. But the wonderful thing is that God has made this incredible thing where we can worship him. And in those moments, we breathe in the very life-giving breath of God that allows us to live our life. See, worship is not just singing songs. It's God breathing in every aspect of our life. Isaiah goes on to tell us that not only is he the wonderful counselor and the mighty God, but he says he's the everlasting Father. And that literally means the author of eternal life. That's what that means. And everlasting points to a kingdom that will never end. If we complete the verse with the next bit, we see this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness for that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Here's a little statement for you. God gave the land of Israel to the people of Israel. It belongs to them, regardless of what this world will tell you. And in that land, Jesus will come and reign again. In that land. Are you ready for this? Everlasting Father, not to be confused with God the Father, it means the author of eternal life. So we can expect fatherly provision in this. In other words, Jesus is our forever provider. How about that? Our forever provider. And he provides the care we need and promises to be the protector of our lives. There's an awful lot of people who think I'm talking an awful lot of rubbish. They will either come to their senses or change their views when it's too late. This is truth. Okay, this is truth. And when we stand before God, we will give an account for how we've lived our lives, what we've done with our lives. So I challenge you. Have a bigger picture here altogether. So not only are we told that he is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, but he's also the Prince of Peace. This is an expectation of wholeness in our life. A prince is a leader, a commander. And peace is the word shalom, which doesn't just mean nice, relaxed. It means all of God working in all of your life. It's Romans 8:28, all things working for the good. That's the great shalom of God. You see, when we have the shalom of God, then there's an absence of strife. There's a sense of completion. There's a fulfillment or wholeness that results in, get this, unimpaired relationships. We start to enjoy proper relationship one with another. So we can expect Jesus to be our life calmer. How about that? He's brought peace to a once broken relationship with God. Let me read you Romans 5, first two verses, if I may. May I do that? That's good, because that's what I'm just about to do. But I just like to be polite. So Romans 5, and I used to have Romans in this Bible. Here we are. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. It's a great verse. But will you notice it says, we have been justified. Not might be, not could be. We have been. It says, we have peace with God. Not might be, not could be. We have it. It says, we have gained access by faith. It's there already. It says, and we boast in the hope of glory. Way too many of us are looking for things we've already got. We need a bigger picture here. Christmas is a glorious opportunity for us to see this bigger picture. See, peace is life's greatest gift, I believe. It is a tragedy that so many in our world are experiencing war and strife and a lack of peace. On a cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." He was talking about peace with God. It's now restored. He also provides peace on earth. And that's why the angels announced to the shepherds on the night that Christ was born, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace and goodwill towards men." And peace on earth also includes that bit of space you occupy. Way too many of us are still struggling with stuff in our head. Now, that's not to say life is a painful place. It is. That's not to say that when we lose someone we love, it doesn't hurt. It does. That's not to say when things go wrong, it's very confusing, because it is. But he's talking way beyond that. He's saying joy is much more than happiness. They're very different things altogether. You see, joy is the inner knowing that everything you were meant to know and be has been arranged for you. It is forthcoming as you move towards it. Happiness depends on circumstances. Joy really is J-O-Y. Jesus and you with nothing in between. That's a good way to remember joy. See, joy is the certainty that whatever stains our souls with shame or failure, it's been neutralized by the one power that frees us all, Jesus our Emmanuel. So God commissioned angels to roll back the night and fill it with blazing light. We sing things like "Angels from the Realms of Glory." We sing "Hark the Herald Angel Sings," all talking about that. God sent the celestial choir. We sing things like "O Little Town of Bethlehem" and "Once in Royal David's City," talking about that. God graced the heavens with a miracle star. We sing "We Three Kings of Orient Are," or "O Holy Night." We sing songs, carols we call them. We're going to sing some next week in our Not Quite Christmas service, because we wanted to do it twice. We've got to learn, my dear friends, that if God went to such trouble to prepare for Christmas, then it's good that we do likewise. And the summons of the Holy Spirit is that we open our heart in a childlike faith and we welcome the expectation of God's promise and power. That should fill our worship. We welcome the transformation that needs to take place in our lives. Judah would sing, "O come, Emmanuel." We can sing, "Thank you, Lord, because he has come." He has come. And he's coming again. We need to welcome the transformation that this brings. We need to forgive what failed to be. Let it go. What never worked. All that stuff that never worked was broken, that failed, that either you blew it or someone else blew it and it all went wrong and you're dragging it around like a ball in a... Let it go. Forgive, because he has, and he's turned the page. This is a new day. Let our worship be filled with stuff like that. Heal that which yearns to be. Restore that which cries out to be. receive the promise of Christmas. A Saviour to you is born. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You see, it comes in a package of Jesus. We sing away in a manger. No room. Ended up in a cave, in a feed box of an animal, little baby. Takes a lifetime to unwrap the essentials for the present. Takes an eternity to understand the glories that he's brought. I think when we get to heaven and Jesus embraces us, I think it's only then we're really going to begin to understand what's happened. I don't think we've scratched the surface. But many of us, and many who are listening to this, are wrapped in ruined Christmases, ruined Christmas memories, or unfulfilled expectations. All too often we experience those difficult things, and those memories are so painful. But yet, there's hope. Many of us might have a heartbreak memory. Or maybe we're just burned out over family stress and infighting. Maybe the idea of joining with the family for Christmas dinner doesn't fill you with joy. Or maybe you're fed up with the materialistic greed around us every year, like me. I'm really struggling with that. Or maybe you just don't like mince pies, I don't know. Whatever it is. But there are lots of varieties of death that wrap a God-appointed celebration and try and just cut it out. Well, I want to tell you what all of that stuff is the Prince of Darkness attempting to smother a celebration of light. Just as he sought to murder the babe of Bethlehem, he now tries to murder your celebration of his coming. Resist them. Let's go back to what Isaiah said to us. For unto us a child is born. Pardon me. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. That's like a top advisor. Isn't that great? Yeah. Prime Minister apparently has got one of them. Okay. Whatever. But this is a real top advisor. A mighty God, a mighty warrior, an everlasting Father, a provider forever, and a Prince of Peace, a life calmer. When we think of that bigger picture, and as we begin to start singing those Christmas songs, let's have a bigger, wider view. They are worship songs. And as we look at them and we see oozing and dripping from them, theological gems, great truths of who our God is, let's belt them out with hearts that really say, thank you, Lord. And that includes when we're out in the open air next Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. So let's end this morning by just saying, who's going to join us singing carols out there at 5 o'clock? Quite a few of us, great. So if you're listening online and you're not here this morning, 5 p.m. down on the green. We'll see you there, and we'll have a wonderful time. Bring a torch, and hopefully there won't be a mince pie in sight. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. Help us, I pray, Lord, as we worship you, to see this bigger picture of a wonderful counselor, of a everlasting Father, of a mighty God, and of a Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, church.